Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter number 24. Again, let me say it's good to see everyone that's come this way. We praise God for your presence tonight in the house of God. How good it is on Sunday evening to come to the house of the Lord. I tried to share with you this morning on that subject of hell. And hell is a real place. People don't have to go there. Jesus Christ is the answer. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm glad that we don't just have to preach that lost go there, but we can preach the way to keep from going there. And I rejoice in that. Now tonight we're going to look at one verse of scripture, verse number 42. Stand please while I read the word of God. Familiar scripture, watch. Therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doeth come. Watch. For you know not what hour your Lord doeth come. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you tonight for the privilege to be back in the house of God. I thank you, Lord, for thy word, thy truth. And I pray that you'd seal this word we just read to our hearts. And then, Father, the message this morning, I pray that folk not get over that. But, Lord, may we all take heed to that fact and have a desire in our hearts to help others be saved, that they may know Jesus Christ as our Lord and their Savior. Our Father, I pray that you bless these young people. Thank you for children, young folk that'll get up and sing for your glory and love you. And I pray, God, you be real in their life and help them and encourage them and strengthen them day by day. Then I pray for those of our missionaries and ask you to help them. And those that's out preaching tonight, you help them, watch over them, care for them. Then, Father, we pray you bless here in the service now. We need you to touch us. We need a divine move of God. And I pray that we'll be able to think and able to say what we need to say. May the Holy Spirit empower the message as it goes out and speak to hearts. And you said thy word, not return void, it would accomplish wherein that you send it. And so I pray tonight, take your word, seal it to hearts. And Lord, somebody here tonight may need to be saved. I pray the Holy Spirit bring real conviction and draw them to Jesus. Then all that may be falling afar off don't have the joy. I pray tonight they come, let you help them. I thank you, Lord, for what you have done, are doing, and shall do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we look at this verse of scripture and look at that one word, watch, and we're talking about, of course, in context, he says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. And in context, he's talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and rapture. And I do want to deal somewhat with that for a few moments and some things that we need to be watching, who we need to be watching for, let's put it that way. I guess if I titled it, I'd say who are we watching for? Now, I realize we know immediately in looking at that verse of scripture that we're talking about Jesus and the coming of the Lord, but I want to take it a little step further or two than that as who we look for, but in these days. Now, notice in context, he's talking and he said, watch therefore. That therefore is therefore for a reason. Amen. So you look back in the verses previous to it and look back in verse number 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. It's going to be a separation time. Some will go, some will stay. What makes a difference is whether you have oil in your lamp. Look in chapter 25 of Matthew. And as we look at this familiar passage also, and talks about they waiting for the bridegroom, and that day of and when they got married, the bridegroom would come unexpectedly. They would know that he's coming, but he would not I'd tell him exactly when he was coming, and then somebody would be watching all the time for his coming, and then they would cry that the bridegroom comes, and the bride and the bridesmaids and all those involved in it, they had to be ready, or else they not be ready when the bridegroom got there. There's going to be some folk not ready when the bridegroom comes. Jesus is coming. He's going to come and not announced. But I'm telling you tonight, he is coming according to the word of God. Look in verse number 2. And five, these that went out to meet him, five of them were wise and five were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now, I want to call your attention to that fact. They all slumbered and slept. Those that had oil, those that did not have oil, they all slumbered and slept. Now, oil is a type and a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. And so here we find those that had the Spirit of God and those that did not have the Spirit of God. And that's going to make a difference when Jesus comes, who's ready and who's not ready. Notice what it said. They all slumbered and slept, and at midnight, time that not expecting, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. You remember when Noah entered into the ark and just talked about Noah in chapter 24? God shut the door. Can anybody else get in? And when it began to rain, when the storm began to come and the waters began to rise, they may have tried to get in, but they couldn't get in because the door was shut. Here the bridegroom comes, and those that are ready, those that have their lamps trimmed, they go in, but the door shut, and the others cannot get in. Then they're left out. Why were they left out? Because they were not saved. They were not born again. If you're saved tonight, you have the best gift that has ever been given to anybody in all the world. You have salvation. It is the gift of God, by the way. It is a gift. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't pay for it. There's no way that you can possibly make your way and work your way to it. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. I preach salvation all the time. I've said before, and may I say it again, God forbid that ever preach and don't talk about being saved. You must be born again. You have to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to go to heaven. And when Jesus comes and that cry is made, you and I need to be watching for the... And this word watch there means more than just looking with your eyes. It means an anticipation. It means an absolute concept that we are saturated with. The fact is something that's going to happen. We're expecting it to happen. And we are in anticipation of it happening. And it will happen. Jesus will come. You believe that? Jesus said, I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ went away. I believe he died on the cross of Calvary, buried, rose, and then ascended back to the Father. I believe that as much as I believe I'm standing in this pulpit. I also believe he made a promise and said, I will come again. And that's our blessed hope, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you and I are to be watching for the Savior. He said, watch therefore. You don't know the day, you don't know the hour, you don't know when he's coming, but said watch and anticipate. And as we look around us tonight, as we see things that are happening this day, and I'm not looking for any sign for the rapture, I'm simply seeing signs of the coming of the Antichrist. Amen. And we've said it over and over again. As you and I are living in these days, and we talk about days that we like to have lived in, the day of Jesus or some other time in great revival meetings and all of that. And certainly we sometimes long for and anticipate that. But I tell you, you and I are living in a generation that ought to be excited about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he came the first time, there was just a few folk that were really looking for him. Just a few shepherds out there on the hillside. A few wise men that were looking and watching and expecting something to happen. Just a few folk and not many, but that's how it is today. There's a few folk that really look for his coming. And the majority of folk are not really looking for him to come. Don't expect him to come. And tonight, are you really looking for Christ to come? Do you expect him to come any moment, any time? Jesus said that he's coming like a thief in the night. And he comes unexpected. He comes and makes his appearance and you don't know he's coming. And that's how he's coming. So you and I need to be ready. If you look in verse 44, it says, therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man coming. And so we need to be ready. You say, preacher, how do we be ready? By being saved, born in the family of God, by knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. That's the only way there is to be ready, is to be saved and born in the family of God. You say, preacher, how do I get saved? By realizing the fact that Jesus is the Son of God and realizing the fact that you are a sinner, that you have sinned against God, and that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for your sin, and that he's buried, and that he rose again the third day, and that he ascended back into heaven, sat at the right hand of God, and intercedes for everybody that'll come, and he'll save them if they'll repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot tell you exactly what took place in heaven when I got saved, but I know something like this took place. When I got saved, I was under conviction. God was dealing with my heart. I knew I was going to hell. I knew I didn't have any hope. Now, I belonged to a church. I had made a profession. I had joined up. I was trying to do right. I was doing those things that people ought to do, but I wasn't saved. I didn't have peace of God on the inside. And I sometimes think, well, I believe I may make it. And then these other times I didn't think I would make it. And I was in a turmoil. Brother Bill, you know what I'm talking about. In a turmoil about that thing. And but it got worse as time went. And one Sunday morning, and I like to tell it because it's my salvation. Amen. I got saved. The Apostle Paul, every time he got a chance, he said, I was on my way down to Damascus. He told it over and over again. Let me tell you again what happened that Sunday morning. I went to church as usual, but God, the Holy Ghost, really got to burden my heart and really got to working on me that morning, and I couldn't stand. I used to look around. I'd see other people, and I'd say, well, I guess I'm as good as they are. And I compare myself with somebody else. And they went to church, I went to church. They gave, I gave. And they didn't cuss, and I didn't cuss. And they didn't do this, I didn't do that. And so I thought, well, I look pretty good. I'm looking pretty good. And so I'd let it pass by. That Sunday morning, I wasn't looking at everybody else. God had got me to a point where he backed me in a corner. I really didn't care how the other people looked. I really wasn't concerned about them that Sunday morning. That Sunday morning, all I could see was me. I was lost and I was going to hell. I needed some help. It was me. I stood in need of prayer. I needed God to be my Savior, my Lord. I forgot all about that pride business. I used to think if I made a profession, everybody would think I was crazy because I was supposed to be saved. And you look around, you let that influence you, let that bother you. What's people going to say? What's people going to think? Well, it reached a point I really didn't care what they said, what they thought. I just need to get saved. I needed Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. That Sunday morning when the preacher gave that invitation, I started weeping. And then I started down the aisle. I got down to the aisle at the altar and I bowed my head and prayed and cried like a baby. Asked God to save me. Asked Jesus to come in. Now the preacher took some scripture and tried to show me, but I was crying so bad I couldn't see it. He said, men don't cry. I did. I still do sometimes. Amen, and that's all right. Amen. Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus and he wept. Amen. And I wept that day. And I knew the verses he was trying to show me. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I knew those scriptures. I'd heard those scriptures. I was aware of them. But that morning, it was more than just a scripture as somebody was reading or quoting. It was more than just something I knew in my mind. Brother Bill had become more than that. The Bible, Jesus was saying to me, if Ray Stewart will confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in his heart that God raised him from the dead, Ray Stewart will be saved. And God made it personal, real to me. I bowed somewhere over in heaven, Jesus Christ, saying, there's one I died for. I paid his price. I went to Calvary for him. I took all of his sin. I paid his sin debt. I paid his price. And God the Father looked down and said, I can't see his sin. I see the righteousness of my son. I see the blood on the altar. I see that blood sacrifice. I will accept him in Christ. I will accept him in the Lord Jesus and put his name down. Amen. And thank God I'm a part of the family of God today because of the fact that Jesus saved me that Sunday morning. He said, preacher, did you see lightning bolts? Didn't see any lightning bolts. I didn't do things like that. I didn't turn any flips. But I tell you one thing. That morning down there on my knees, I gave my heart to Jesus, best I knew how. I gave it all up, Brother Blake, and I just said, God, here I am. I need salvation. I need Jesus. I can't work my way. I've been trying to work my way. I've been trying to do right. I've been trying to live good and so forth. You know what that's like? That's like flying in, going to take an airplane flight, and you get a hold of the tail of it and going to try to hold on. By the time you get to the end of the runway, you won't get to the end of the runway. By the time that thing fires up real good and starts out, you'll be laying on the runway there, scratched up and about half dead, and the plane will be gone. But that's where I was. I was hanging on the tail end of something I thought, trying to hang on to salvation and get where I was going, want to go to heaven. But I wasn't getting anywhere. I'm glad that Sunday morning when God got through with me, Brother Lyle, I knew I was saved and born in the family of God. A few days later, I was out, and we lived in a house we rented then, and we had a what called a stoker furnace, coal furnace, and you had to go outside to get in the basement, a little basement down there that had the furnace in. Had to put that coal in that hopper so it'd feed to that furnace. Man, that was living high in those days if you had a stoker furnace. We had heat, amen. It was in the wintertime, the month of February, and I just two or three days later, that same week, I just walking around the house. I walked out the back door, going to that basement, put coal in that thing, and I was thinking about it. And now I trusted Jesus. Jesus became real to my heart. I did everything God said to do. And no devil been messing with me a little bit since that day. And I've been thinking on it. And that day, I don't know what day of the week it was, don't remember that. But I know one thing, that day, the Holy Ghost of God made it surreal in my heart. And hey, hallelujah, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And God gave me that assurance, and I praise him for it, amen. Now, you're not saved by feeling, but it sure does feel good to be saved. Amen. Not saved by those feelings. Amen, Brother McIntosh. He'd like to jump out of his pew. Amen. And thinking about being saved, he knows he's saved. He knows he's right. And thank God, I'm glad he is. Amen. I'm glad she is. I'm glad you are. Talking to Brother Bob for his service. And he'd tell me what God did for it. God, he said, Jesus one got me out of that mess. And it was. I praise God for that. Amen. And I look at him now, and he's smiling and looking happy in the Lord. And he's telling me that his wife couldn't get over the fact that he smiled now. Amen. And God did something for him and helped him and birthed him in the family of God, and he got born again. I say hallelujah. It's real. Amen. And so that's how you get ready. And so tonight, I didn't know I was going to sell that, but I did. I'm glad I did because I enjoy telling it. I'm saved. I'm saved. Hallelujah. I know I'm saved. I hope you're saved. I hope everybody in this house is saved and knows Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior. And I want to report to you tonight. If you're not saved, then that's a good night to make that calling and election sure. Hey, when's a good time to get saved? Bible says today's the day. Now's the time. And so anytime you realize you're lost and need Jesus, that's a good time to get saved and born in the family of God. But we need to be watching for his appearing. He is going to come, amen. Bible didn't tell me to watch for the Antichrist. It didn't tell me to watch that, see how bad it's going to get. It didn't say tell me to watch about all this other stuff going on. He told me to watch for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and his appearing. So tonight I'm just looking for him to come and take me home. I can't remember the name, man's name saved my life tonight. Some of y'all will remember him. He's a man here in the church. I got right with God, got in church, and then he got real sick and was in the hospital. I went by to see him one day just before he went on to be with the Lord, not many days later. But he said, he's sitting there in his street clothes. He was dressed and said, I'm just waiting for my ride. And I thinking about that, just waiting for my ride. And I preached a message when he died, just waiting for my ride. And that's what he was doing, not only that day waiting for his ride to come by and take him to the house, but he was waiting for his ride to come by and take him to glory. Amen. You remember when Elijah left out of here and he's waiting on his ride and a chariot of fire came down, took him up, amen. And I'm waiting on my ride. What kind of ride you going to take, preacher? I'm going to take a plain air ride. Some people take airplane rides. I'm taking a plain air ride, amen. Brother Buddy talking about taking an airplane back to Texas. He may take a plain air ride before that plane ride comes. And Jesus comes in the air and the shouts may come up hither. He's just going to leave out, change in the moment between him and I. In a glorified body, he's going on out of here and meet Jesus. And I say, glory, hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight and ready? Amen. Watch for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming. He's coming. I'm glad we're not appointed to wrath in Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. And we're not appointed to wrath. We're appointed to salvation. Paul writing the church at Thessalonica said, I say amen and amen. And so I'm going to leave that as that. Now, let me give you a second thing real quickly that we need to be watching for, who we need to be watching for, and not that we need to be involved in anything or get too enthused about finding out about this. I'm talking about watching for Satan's deceitfulness, because the devil will try to deceive you. He'll try to slip up on your blind side and mess you up. Young folk, let me especially, well, everybody, not just, it's not just young people. It's everybody. Everybody, amen. Everybody has to watch or the devil will slip up on your blind side. And the devil gets you preoccupied with everything else. And you'll miss what God wants you to see. And you need to be looking for Jesus to come. But Satan, and when I say you don't need to get too involved, sometimes people get talking about witchcraft, all that stuff, and then they get some books about it and get to studying up on it. You don't need to read about witchcraft. What you need to read about is the Word of God. You read about Jesus and he'll take care of the witchcraft business. Amen. That's of the devil. And you don't need to study up on about all this other stuff that's out here and find out how bad it is. Just leave that alone, because that'll stir your flesh. And that'll get you stirred up and the flesh will be stirring in that direction. What we need to do is see how far away from that stuff we can get and stay away from it, because it messes with your mind and then that messes with your heart and your heart gets messed up. Young folk, I don't know what you see, what you do. I know that the internet, and I know all the, I don't know much about it, I can tell you that, but I know they have these faces they get on and people tell about their lives. I never have understood why anybody wanted to tell everybody about their personal life. Never have understood that, but whatever you do something good for the glory of God. It can be used for good, amen. Tell somebody about Jesus, how good he is. Tell them how good that Jesus is to you. Tell them how good he's been to you and what he's done for you. Invite them to church. I mean, do good things with it. Amen. I thank God there is some good things you can do with it. And I praise the Lord for it. Amen. But you watch the devil. He'll slip up on you. And somebody will send you something. Then you'll find yourself looking at something that you ought not be looking at. Amen. And you may be putting something on there you don't need to be putting on there. Y'all listening? Y'all still with me? Amen. Don't run off anywhere. I'm not finished yet. And we're talking about the devil slipping up on your blind side. And he'll try to mess you up. And when he does, you remember what this preacher said. You need to watch the devil and his devices that he uses. And the devil, we sometimes picture him as a red suit and forked tail, horn, ugly as all get out. But let me tell you tonight, that's not how the devil looks. Devil will come to you in pretty pictures. He'll come to you and looking nice. He'll come to you and something looks good. He'll paint you a rosy picture. Have you ever seen a beer advertisement that had a car wreck shown on it? Blood running down the street. Have you ever seen an advertisement like that for beer? You never have. It's always a beautiful lady and a handsome man, and they're always having fun, you know, and always looks good. That's the devil's lie. He pictures that. He don't show you about a dad going home drunk and beating on his wife, or children going hungry, or children being mistreated because they got their mind so wrapped up with alcohol they can't think of what they're doing. Amen. And you need to understand that. And so be watchful and watch for those things, because they'll mess you up. And young people, I love young folk, and I see them up here in that choir, my heart thrills. I get excited. I get excited about seeing them and serve God. I want them to serve God with all their heart, all their life, because I know the devil's after them. He wants to mess them up and get them all messed up. One other thing, and I'm closing, that we need to be looking for, and that's sinners. We need to be looking for sinners. Amen. Keep watch out for sinners. There'll be somebody you'll meet along the way that you can invite. This morning I preached on the subject of hell. I tried to warn people not to go to hell. Tried to talk about hell. And it's a real place. It's not make-believe. It's not a figment of my imagination or somebody else's imagination. Somebody just didn't make that up. It is the Word of God. It's truth. It's real. And people need to know about it. And so we need to be watching for those who need Jesus. And tell them about Jesus Christ. Invite them to church. Be kind to them. Love them. Care about them. And they may be some out there that you say, well, nobody care about them. You ought to care about them. I ought to care about them. Because whoever they are, wherever they are, and they need Jesus Christ to help. The only way people are going to get out of the mess they're in is to have Jesus come by. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all know that, don't you? That the only way you can get out of that mess is to have Jesus say, separate you, for him to pick you up, set your feet on the rock, establish your goings, and give you a new song to sing, new purpose of living. Amen. Looking for sin. And where there's no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29:18. Where there's no vision, people perish. And Jesus said in John 4:35, he said, say not they're yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Look on the fields, for they're white already unto harvest. And you and I are living in a generation that is looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus. One of these days, that last person's going to be saved. That last one's going to come to Jesus. That last one's going to make the bride up, be completed. And you and I are going to hear the shout and the cry come up hither, and we're going to leave out of here and go to heaven and be with Jesus forever and forever. That's glorious, isn't it? Amen. But what about those we see around us that's not saved? May God help us go after them and care about them. And try to help them. We need to watch, therefore. We need to watch. He's coming. Jesus is coming again. Watch for him. Stock market may go haywire, but you can depend on what Jesus said. He said, I'm coming back to get you. He's coming back to get us. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege we have to be in the house of God. Thank you for thy word, thy truth. Thank you tonight, God, for all your blessings. And Lord, tonight as we've tried to share and even give our testimony about being saved, what a joy to my heart to know that I'm saved. Father, there may be those here tonight that don't know that. They don't know Jesus Christ personally. They don't know that they go to heaven if Jesus came right now and a shout was made and a trump sounded. They be left. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit make it real to them and draw them by your power, and I pray they'll be saved tonight. There may be somebody here tonight that they know their life is not where it needs to be with God. They need to come. Maybe they've been saved, but they've let the joy go, and they've not stayed close to you. They've followed afar off and messed up, and so I pray, God, you'd help them see their need to come tonight. Lord, in this invitation, somebody may want to come and just pray for somebody else. But whatever it is and whatever the need is in this invitation, I pray you speak to every heart. Help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.